There to Psalm 32. The book of Psalms is right in the middle of your Bible. If you open it up, try to get in the middle, you're probably right there around Psalms somewhere. And so Psalms is where we're going to be, like I said, chapter 32, and we're going to be talking about a happy day. The psalm that we're looking at is a psalm about forgiveness. And as they sung in this song, "Oh, happy day when Jesus washed all my sins away." That is the thing we can be most thankful for in our lives today and in this week. So when you get together and you have all the turkey and dressing and stuffing and roast beef and whatever else you're going to eat this week, don't forget to be thankful for what God has done. We often get our kids or other folks to say, "Hey, what are you thankful for?" Last week Eli had an assignment. He had to write down some things that he is happy for. And don't forget the cross. Don't forget the cross. So today we're going to be looking at a happy day in chapter 32 of Psalm. Psalms is a songbook. It is written for us to kind of sing our life to. We've called this our songbook for life, and these are songs written for various purposes, and this one is a song of thanksgiving, and so I thought it was appropriate for us to look at that. And so today we're going to celebrate forgiveness. We're going to celebrate restoration that only God gives. And when we understand forgiveness, which is, I hope, the point that you get today, when you really understand what forgiveness is, you're going to have the result of joy and thanksgiving. So our goal today is to really understand forgiveness so that we can have joy and thanksgiving. So what I want to do is I want to start off by reading this psalm together. It is 11 verses, and we're going to check it out together, and then we'll pull out, I think, five things that we can understand about forgiveness. So let's read it together. In verse 1, it says this: "How joyful is the one whose transgression is forgiven, whose sin is covered. How joyful is the man the Lord does not charge with sin, and in whose spirit is no deceit. When I kept silent, my bones became brittle from my groaning all day long. For day and night, your hand was heavy on me. My strength was drained as in the summer's heat. So then I acknowledged my sin to you and did not conceal my iniquity. I said, 'I will confess my transgressions to the Lord.' And you took away my guilt, or you took away the guilt of my sin. Therefore, let everyone who is faithful pray to you at a time that you may be found. When great floodwaters come, they will not reach him. You are my hiding place. You protect me from trouble. You surround me with joyful shouts of deliverance. I will instruct you and show you the way to go. With my eye on you, I will give counsel. Do not be like a horse or a mule without understanding, that must be controlled with a bit or a bridle, or else it will not come near you. Many pains come to the wicked, but the one who trusts in the Lord will have faithful love surrounding him. Be glad in the Lord and rejoice, your righteous ones. Shout for joy, all you upright in heart." So this psalm is a psalm of thanksgiving. And the first thing I want us to see is that forgiveness brings us joy. Forgiveness brings us joy. Our happiness or our joy, depending on what your text may say, it may say blessedness or happiness. But our happiness and our joy is completely dependent on the fact that God forgives us. And God forgives you. That is where joy really comes from. A few weeks ago, we talked about the idea of a lot of times we try to get happy and we try to be happy, but God doesn't always necessarily want us happy. He wants us more than happy, what is blessed, and he wants us full of joy. And forgiveness brings us that joy. Notice here the passive voice. What I mean by passive voice, if you've forgotten English class, which I often do, is that the passive voice is the voice that somebody else is doing the action. Active voice, I do the action. Passive voice, someone does the action to me. And so in this case, notice the passive voice. God is the one who does the action. God is the one who forgives us. We don't forgive ourselves. Who takes away our iniquity? Who takes away our guilt? Who takes away our shame? Who takes away our sin? It is God doing it to us. He forgives us, he covers us, and he restores us back to grace. He restores us back to who we're supposed to be as human beings, regardless of who we are or where we're from. That is what God does. His forgiveness covers us. He is all over us when we have forgiveness. Wow, what a wonderful thought. Do you have forgiveness today? Are you having this joy that we talk about that forgiveness brings? See, if we find joy in forgiveness, we must be willing to drop the burdens and to seek forgiveness. The problem is, forgiveness brings us joy, but the issue is unforgiveness is a heavy burden. And how many of you know that? How many of you have lived with that heavy burden? How many of you are carrying that burden, heavy burden, even today? Of unforgiveness, of not having confessed your sins. How unconfessed sin feels is what these verses are trying to tell us. Look here in verses 3-5 when it says, "And when I kept silent, my bones became brittle from my groaning all day long. For day and night, your hand was heavy on me. My strength was drained as in the summer heat. Then I acknowledged my sin to you, and you did not conceal my iniquity. I said, I confess my transgressions to the Lord, and you took away the guilt of my sin." Sin weighs us down. And we have this picture here of this heavy burden, this heavy, heavy rock that is on our shoulders, that is just pressing down against us. And how many of you have helped that experience or felt that experience that when you ask forgiveness, you get this weight just lifted off of you? And what he's saying here is unforgiveness carries this burden with you. And some of you are experiencing this even now. Turmoil is what keeps oneself in sin. The groaning all day long. You go all day long and it just hurts and it's just heavy and you don't know how to deal with life and you don't know how to deal with things because this sin is just a heavy burden on you. It hurts us physically and it feels heavy on us. And to release this torture is to acknowledge that we have sinned. To say, I've given it up. To say, Father, I have blown it. I have messed up. I want a forgiveness. I want to seek you. I want to give it to you. And the burden goes away. God takes our guilt. Are you ready to release your burden? If you're ready to release your burden, you know this. God is waiting for us. That's the next thing I see in this text is that forgiveness is available at any time. Forgiveness is available at any time. Look at verses 6-7. He says, therefore, he says, I will confess my transgressions to the Lord. You will take my guilt away, my guilt away. Therefore, verse 6, let everyone who is faithful pray to you at a time that you may be found. When great flood waters come, they will not reach him. You are my hiding place. Is God your hiding place? This is a beautiful word picture here. God is my hiding place. You protect me from trouble. You surround me with joyful shouts of deliverance. He says, therefore, it's turning, it's twisting. I've sinned, but therefore, when I seek God, we have forgiveness. When we go after God, we have forgiveness. As he said, when you're available. And think about it, when is God not available to you? So forgiveness is available to us at any time because of righteousness, even when the waters press hard, it says. Even when time gets tough, even when we're pressed and we're shaken and we're up against the wall, God will not let us go. God will not let us drown. reminds me of a story in the New Testament. There's this guy who's on a boat. Actually, there's a bunch of guys on the boat, and they're in a sea. It's pretty rough, and the waves are a little high, and they see this fellow walking on the water, and they think it's a ghost. And so somebody's like, "It's a ghost," and another guy's like, "Nah, it's Jesus." And so Peter, the great one who puts his foot in his mouth often, says, "Jesus, that's you. Call me out. Let's go for a walk." And so Jesus says, "Come on, Peter, let's see what you got." So Peter gets out and Peter begins to walk on the water. And Peter is amazed that, hey, I'm doing this. And he sees God right in front of him. And Jesus is walking there with him. And Jesus gets near Peter gets near Jesus. And he said, the scripture says, he begins to realize that he is surrounded with high waves and turmoil. And he loses focus of Jesus. And he begins to sink. Ever felt that way? You thought things were going good. You thought your eyes were on Jesus, and then you realize your problems, and all of a sudden you realize how deep you are in it. And what does Peter do? Peter cries out to the Lord. He says, "Jesus, save me." Before he can finish the phrase, Jesus has Peter in his grip, and he's pulling him up. God will not abandon you when you call out to him. God is there. He is, as this word picture says, he is my hiding place. How many of you just like to get away sometime? Just like to run away and just get away from the craziness of life, get away from maybe the craziness of family, get away from the craziness of things, and you just want a hiding place. When we were kids, we would build forts and go in the woods and whatever. We had our secret places. And there's where you got away and your hiding place. And the psalmist, David, says that is what God is to us. He is the place to get away. He is our hiding place. He is the one who will protect you when trouble comes. His forgiveness is available at any time. He is ready to wrap you up in his loving arms. Will you call out to him? We must learn from forgiveness that we receive. When we ask for forgiveness and God gives us that forgiveness, we need to learn from that forgiveness. Which brings us to the fourth point, that forgiveness leads to wisdom. Forgiveness leads to wisdom. What do I mean by that? I mean that when we ask for forgiveness and God gives us forgiveness, we begin to learn about who God is and what God does. We begin to learn that God is a God of forgiving. It's not just something that we hear, but it's something that we experience. We also begin to experience, don't ever do that anymore. We learn from our experience, the foolishness that we do. It helps us become wiser individuals, wiser men and women. And so a response to forgiveness is for us to learn from it, but also to instruct others. Wise is the man who learns from others' mistakes and doesn't make them themselves. We need to make sure we look at the lives of others, people who have gone before us. Teenagers, realize your parents are not as stupid as you think they are. They have walked in your shoes. They know more than you think they do. They are wiser than you believe. And when they tell you something, it's not just because they want to be mean most of the time. They tell you stuff because they're wiser than you are. And when they encourage you to do something, it's because they are wiser than you are. It's probably because they've blown it before and they've learned from their mistakes. The wise person learns from that. And when we get forgiveness, it leads us to get wisdom, but it's also our job to share wisdom and to teach wisdom. We learn the path of joy from the wisdom of others. How many of you could say, I learned something from another believer? I live in community with other people. I live in an area where I could talk to them, they could talk to me, and I can understand from them about how to live life. When I'm struggling, I could go to them. When they're struggling, they go to me, and we learn from one another. That is what the church is supposed to be about. That is what the church is designed to be, to carry one another's burdens, to encourage one another, to lift one another up. So the wisest thing about forgiveness is that we share it with others and we share about the reconciliation that God has for us. Look at verses 8 and 9. It says, I will instruct you and show you the way to go. With my eye on you, I will give counsel. Do not be like a horse or a mule. How many of you try to mess around with a horse and a mule? They don't always do what you want them to do. So don't be like no mule without understanding. How many of you have been called mule-headed? Don't be like a mule without understanding that must be controlled with a bit or a bridle, or else it will not come near you. Don't be like that person who has to be pushed and prodded and forced into things. Be wise. Learn from your mistakes. Learn from the mistakes of others. The wisest thing about reconciliation, the wisest thing about forgiveness is the reconciliation we have with God. And that's the last thing I want to touch on today. It's that reconciliation, or forgiveness rather, brings us into the presence of God. Forgiveness brings us into the presence of God. It brings us back into that right relationship with God. Look at the last two verses. Many pains come to the wicked, but the one who trusts in the Lord will have faithful love surrounding him. Be glad in the Lord and rejoice, you righteous ones. Shout for joy, all you upright in heart. What's he saying here? He's saying when we have reconciliation, when we are made right with God, when we confess our sin and we get in a right relationship with God, we are able to come into his presence. The happiness and the joy that's spoken about in verses 1 and 2 can only be through the forgiveness of God. We can only be happy, we can only be joyful when we have that forgiveness that we find in God and the restoration that he gives to us. That when we are doing our own thing and we're walking our own way and we're being what the Bible calls wicked, we wouldn't put ourselves in that category, but when you are disobeying God, you are being wicked. And God says, when you are being wicked, you need to reconcile. You need to get right with God. And so God the Father sends God the Son, Jesus, and he becomes incarnate in the man, Jesus Christ. And he puts on flesh. And Colossians says that he was pleased to have the fullness of God on him. And what that means is that God was pleased to become man so that he can live a perfect life. And he's going to die in our place. So that when we ask forgiveness and when we seek reconciliation, we can have the presence of God living in our life. Oh, happy day when Jesus washed all my sins away. That is where joy comes from. Life outside of the trust of God is foolish. And when we live our lives this way, it leads us to confess God. When we live our lives understanding that life in the presence of God is the best, we seek forgiveness, we seek confession, and we celebrate and we give thanksgiving for God's salvation. Is that you today? Have you found thanksgiving? Have you found joy? Have you found celebration in who God is and what he's done on the cross? The psalm celebrates the heart of Christianity, which is God's grace and his forgiveness. It celebrates who we are, that God extends to us, no matter where we're from every nation, from every tribe, from every people group, from every color and creed around the world. God says, I love you. Will you take my grace? That is the story of Christianity. But the sad thing is we rarely celebrate God's grace. And this week we get a chance to do that. This week you get a chance to celebrate God's grace and God's redemption and God's salvation. So let's celebrate that today. Psalm 32 teaches us to confess our sin. It leads to forgiveness, and it leads to restoration. And as we wrap up today, we went through these five things quickly. But I want you to understand that you can only have right relationship with God. You can only have a life of thanksgiving. You can only celebrate that grace when you've come to Him and you've confessed and you've given Him your sin. But you got to first realize that you're a sinner. And you got to first realize that you've blown it. And if you're not there yet, look at your life. Sin is disobedience to God, and we all fit in that category. So as Chris plays, I want to give you a chance to respond. I want to give you a chance to respond to God, and when God is speaking to your heart and laying on your heart, and how is He speaking to you and dealing with you? Is he telling you to confess some stuff that's going on so He can lift the burden? Is He calling you into a better relationship with Him? Is He calling you to salvation to begin with? Some of you are not believers. Some of you today may not walk with God. And so we want to invite you to do that. So as Chris plays, I invite you to stand. You can pray at the altar and seek God's face. You can pray where you are. If you would like for me to pray with you, I would love to do that. But as Chris plays, seek the face of God. Thank Him for the forgiveness He gives. And thank Him for the love He bestows. Father God, we thank You for the forgiveness that You give us. That it brings us a happy day. A joyful day. A day where we can be in Your presence. Father, I pray for those who are here today that if there's any unconfessed sin, that they would seek You out. If there's anyone here who doesn't know You, that they would seek You and come to know You. God, You're always available. You're always there to be our shelter. You're always there to be our hiding place. So, Father, we thank You for that. We thank You that You bless us with Your presence. We thank You that You give us Your salvation. We thank You for a time to celebrate as a nation and as a people of God what You've done. So, Father, I pray that You would just be with us today as we enjoy the meal together. I pray that You would bless it. We pray that You would just bless our time together, to sit together as a church family and friends to celebrate who You are, what You've done. And God, I pray that You would bless our conversation together. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Again, I want to invite everyone to come and be a part of the meal. The best way to go is if you go out this door and go to the fellowship hall. Things should be, if they're not ready, they should be pretty soon. So you're dismissed. We'll meet you there and we'll have a meal together.